Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Well, today we continue in our series called God's Prescription for a Healthy Life. In it, Pastor Rick will show you how to improve your health physically, spiritually, relationally, and emotionally by applying the five essentials needed for a more vibrant life. If you want to have what it takes to live out your calling in life, stay with us for this amazing series. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about Pastor Rick Warren's best-selling book called The Daniel Plan. This amazing book will revolutionize the way you look at health, food, and friendships forever. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called Setting Goals in Faith.
Now, the Bible says you can do everything in life to the glory of God if you got the right attitude, the right motivation, the right reason. Anything can be done to the glory of God if you do it with the right motivation. Now, it says, whether you eat, do it to the glory of God. Now, I'll be honest with you. If I sit down at a restaurant, I don't naturally think, which food is going to bring the most glory to God? I'm not thinking that at all. I'm thinking, which smells, tastes, and probably is the most calorie loaded. But would I be healthier if I asked that question? Yeah, certainly. Now, there's a bigger issue here than this, and that it is that no matter what you do in life, it can be done to the glory of God if you do it with the right attitude and the right motivation. What's the right attitude? Gratitude. For instance, let's say Kay's gone, and I'm out, she's out for the day, or she's helping somebody. I said, I'm going to go clean up the kitchen. I'm going to wash all the dishes and get everything, you know, all cleaned up. Now, as I'm washing the dishes, how do I do that to the glory of God? First, I'm going, Lord, I want to thank you for these dishes. I have at least got dishes, and I actually have food to put on those dishes. I know a lot of people in the world don't have either food or dishes. So I'm really grateful that I have to wash these dishes because it means I've got something to wash. It's an attitude of gratitude. And I want to bring honor to you. You can take the garbage out. Say, Lord, I'm taking this garbage out, talking to you at the same time. And you just keep this running conversation in your mind, practicing the presence of God all the time. Anything can be done for the glory of God. Now, what kind of goal brings glory to God? Okay, listen to this. Any goal that causes me to love Jesus more is going to bring glory to God. Any goal that causes me to be more grateful to God, any goal that causes me to want to serve God, any goal that causes me to be more drawn to Him, any goal that causes me to want to brag on God to other people and share testimony, witness, say, look what God did for me. That's a godly goal. So that gives you a whole lot of room. Any goal that's going to cause you to love Jesus more as you fulfill it and cause you to obey Him more and trust Him more in going after it, that's a good goal. So you want to bring glory to God by loving and trusting and serving and obeying. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from Him, whether we're here on earth or in heaven. Number two, godly goals, the kind of goals that God blesses, are motivated by love. They're motivated by love. Now, this is very important because God is far more interested in why you do what you do than what you actually do. He's much more interested in your heart than your actions. He wants to know, why do you do what you do? Why did you set this goal? God is not going to bless a goal that's motivated by fear. God's not going to bless a goal that's motivated by guilt. God is not going to bless a goal that's motivated by pride. I just want to be better than everybody else, by ego. Some goals people set because of peer pressure. Well, everybody else is doing it. I need to do this. And they're all upgrading. I need to upgrade. Some goals are motivated by jealousy and by envy. God isn't going to bless that kind of goal. Some goals are set because of materialism. I just want to get more. Greed. God isn't going to bless a materialistic goal. It's just, I just want to get more. There's no reason that God would bless that. And jealousy and, you know, pride and fear and all anger. God blesses goals that are motivated by love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16:14, everything you do must be done with love. Why? Because that's the number one lesson in life. Remember, God is love, and God puts you on earth to learn how to love. And if you don't learn that, doesn't matter what you accomplish or what you acquire or what you do or what you experience, because God put you here to learn love, to learn to love Him with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to learn to love your neighbor as yourself. Learn to love God, learn to love others. That's the big lesson. And so if you're not learning love in your goals, God's not going to bless it. Why you do what you do is more important than just what you do. Now, there are two kinds of love that motivate us to set goals. Our love for the Lord, for Jesus, and our love for other people. And when you use those two motives to set your goals, Lord, I want to get in shape because I want to give you a healthy body. I want to get in shape because I love my family and I want to last and not die prematurely. I want to get in shape because, and you're doing it for others and for God, not simply because I want to look sexier. Well, then you got a better goal, and God can bless that. Now, the first is my love for the Lord. The Bible says this, the life I live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me. The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ gave himself for you on the cross. He loved you, and he does love you, and he gave himself for you. How could you not love him back? If somebody died for you, wouldn't you love them? Yes, you would. Jesus Christ died for you. Now, I love Jesus with all my heart. And even if he never did anything else, because he died for me on the cross, which paid for all my sins, and I can go to heaven and I can have a purpose here on life. If he never did anything else, I owe him the rest of my life. You know, my favorite thing to do as a pastor is not to teach. My favorite thing to do is to baptize people. Because I look in their faces and I get to hear their stories and I get up close and I get to see changed lives right off the bat. Remember last week, I just kind of spontaneously said, hey, look, if you haven't been baptized, I'll meet you out in the pool. Well, last weekend, I baptized 403 people. Okay? Now you figure at 125 pounds a person on average, that means I lifted over 50,000 pounds. So you're looking at Pastor Stud, okay? I mean, underneath this baby fat is the Rock of Gibraltar, baby. It's a hunk of burning love, all right? So you go try lifting 50,000 pounds, all right? And I've never dropped anybody. And I loved hearing the stories. There were some people who were baptized who'd come from other religions, and several of them told me, said, my family will now ostracize me. And one of them said, I'm sure there'll be a death threat on my life because of this decision that I'm doing here. I baptized people with all kinds of physical infirmities, with, you know, arms or legs or back problems or different kinds of things. I baptized a couple that had been married 52 years. And they said, we had never been baptized the way Jesus was. We want to be baptized together. We've been Christians for a long time. I baptized them and all different couples. But the one that really stuck in my mind was a woman who, when she came down into water and she looked up and tears were coming down her eyes, and she said, can I really be completely forgiven? And I said to her, I can say this on the authority of the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace and the cross of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Thanks for joining us today for Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. A short time back, God put it on Pastor Rick's heart to connect with a team of leading health experts to create the Daniel Plan. Meet Joel.
I tried to lose weight. I tried to make the changes, and nothing seemed to work because it was all based on my willpower. When I started with the program, I immediately noticed changes, mainly because I wanted to be healthy. I had the tools to eat properly. I understood exercise, and I had motivation. I saw that I could get healthy finally, that I could make the changes that I tried my whole life to make.
More than 180,000 people are following the Daniel Plan to lose weight, increase their energy, and improve their relationships, all while growing closer to the Lord with the Daniel Plan.
I've lost 75 pounds and I've reached what I think is my ideal weight, where I feel healthy. In fact, I just recently competed in an Ironman triathlon competition. That's 140.6 miles of racing. When I found the Daniel Plan and its principles, I was given the tools to finally make the changes.
Let Pastor Rick send you a hardcover copy of his best-selling book, The Daniel Plan, today, as his way of saying thanks for your financial gift to this listener-supported ministry. Go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004 right now. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or call 800-600-5004. And thanks for prayerfully considering giving to help support this ministry.
Hi, it's Pastor Rick with some big news. My daily devotional is now available in French. If you know somebody who would enjoy reading the devotionals in French, would you please email me and I'll send you a link to sign up. My email is rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com.
Once again, here's Pastor Rick.
Somebody's got to pay for your sin. Somebody did. And he's already paid the rap and the penalty for you. And that's good news. Now, the other motivation is our love for other people. The Bible says this here on the screen: no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, if we love one another, God lives in us. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. Now, if you set goals in your life without love, then people become projects. You will use them to get to your goal, and then you miss the whole point of it, because the whole point is learning how to love. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1, let love be your highest aim. Let love be your highest aim. Number three, godly goals that bring glory to God are motivated by love. Godly goals fulfill one of life's purposes, one of God's purposes for your life. If you want to have a goal that God's going to bless, that God's going to get behind, that God's going to help you with, you need to set a goal that fulfills one of God's purposes for your life. Now, God has five purposes for your life. Now, the thing about God's purposes is that they're eternal. They're not just for here and now on earth, but they're for eternal. Now, that makes a huge difference in your perspective. Remember, if you think this life is all there is, then you're going to set short-term goals. You know, you only go around once in life, you better go it with gusto. Well, no, you better go it with God, actually. And the truth is, you only go around once in life, that's true. But then you're going to face God and you start Act Two. And so you better set goals that have more impact on the second part of your life after death than on the first part of your life. If you only think this is all there is, you just say, hey, get all you can and enjoy all you can and use other people all you can and live for yourself and just, you know, make the most of what you got now, because this is all there is. But if life is preparation for eternity, then you're going to view your goals very, very differently. I guess what I'm saying is this. When you pray, do you pray to use God for your purposes, or do you pray to align yourself with God's purposes? And you say, God, you made me. You had a plan for my life. What do you want me to do with my life? How can I serve you so that I can enjoy eternity with you forever? Let God use you for his purposes. The Bible says it like this. Do not use any part of yourselves to sin
or to be used for wicked purposes. Instead, give yourselves to God and surrender your whole being to Him to be used for righteous purposes. Now, Paul did this. He says in the next verse, I run straight toward the goal with purpose in every step. Paul was a purpose-driven runner. He said, you know, when I'm going through life, I'm running toward the goal. I want to please Christ. I want to follow Him. I want to do what God wants me to do. He refuses to be distracted. You guys remember Florence Joyner, one of the great women athletes of all time? When Florence died, we did the funeral here at Saddleback, and I preached her funeral, and I preached on this verse. I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. Now, the Bible often compares life to a race. And in a race, you don't get to set the finish line. It's already been preset. You don't get to move the finish line. And you make progress one step at a time. And that's the way you go toward your goals, one step at a time. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And you set a big goal, and then you go after it one step at a time, making progress with purpose in every step. You may have some mishaps. You may fall down. But the good news is life is not a 50-yard dash, because if it were, most of us wouldn't make it. That life is a marathon. And here's the key to a marathon of life. God doesn't care how fast you run it. He just wants you to get to the finish line. You're not in a race to run fast. You're in a race to end well. You're in a race to get to the finish line. Godly goals are fulfill God's purposes. Number four. Now, I don't spend a lot of time on this because I already talked about it. Godly goals are set in faith. If you want God's blessing on your goal, you got to set one that's big enough that requires faith. If you set a goal that's too small and you can do it in your own power, that's not a goal, that's just a to-do list. A goal is something that is big enough that you're going to have to trust God and depend on Him to make it. If everything you do in your life, you can do in your own power, you don't need God, then you don't need any faith. And without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God. So you got to set a goal that's big enough, that stretches you, that maybe scares you a little bit. And then you have to trust God. And then number five, godly goals are not only motivated by love, fulfill His promises, purposes, set in faith, they are achieved with God's power. They're not achieved by your own power, but the kind of goals God blesses are so big that God has to step in and help you and give you the strength and give you the energy to do it. Godly goals are achieved with God's power. You know, I looked up on the internet the other day. On Amazon, there are now 86,981 self-help books. That's a lot of advice. Now, the truth is, some of those books actually have some good advice in them. The problem is they don't have what this book has, and only this book has. Only this book gives you the power to do it. Where do you get the power to not worry? Where do you get the power to be patient? Where do you get the power to love unlovely people? Where do you get the power to do the right thing, the honest thing, the ethical thing, when everybody else is cheating? You only get power from this book, from God's word. And so godly goals are achieved with God's power. Let's just be honest. How many years have you started off in a January with a new resolution and a new desire or a new diet or whatever, only a few weeks later to be back in the same spot? Because you didn't do the two things the Bible says you have to do. Number one, rely on God's power. And number two, get a partner or a small group for accountability. You will not stick without those two things. God's power in your life and community. God's power in your life and other people who are a part of the process. You will not get well on your own. You will not change on your own. You need the support of a small group, or you need the support of a spiritual partner, an accountability partner. You got to have godly goals achieved with God's power. Let's look at these last three verses. We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. That's why we fail at our resolutions. We don't depend on Him. The Bible says you will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do. That means in your finances, in your sex life, in your health, in your career. Seek His will in all you do, and He will direct your paths. I remember one time, a long time back, a guy pulled up late for a service. He got out of his car, and as he was coming up, he saw a greeter, and he asked the greeter, he said, is the message done? And the greeter had enough presence of mind to say, well, Rick has finished teaching it. It's yet to be done. I just taught it to you. It's yet to be done. Now, let me tell you a new goal. I'd love to see our church be the healthiest church in America. Physically, not just spiritually. And I want to challenge you for the glory of God to consider what might happen in your life if you would believe that you could be at the end of this year healthier than you were 10 years ago. Because you did it God's way, with God's power and God's people. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I thank you for our church family. We love you and we love each other. We want to give you all of our lives. Help us to take the time to set down and make some faith goals in the areas of our lives. I pray that the message will not just be heard, but it will be done. In your name I pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, after baptizing more than 800 people in one afternoon, Pastor Rick quickly realized just how out of shape he was and everyone else in that baptismal pool. Soon afterward, God put it on Rick's heart to connect with a team of leading experts to create the Daniel Plan, a powerful Bible-based program that has helped more than 15,000 people lose weight, increase their energy, and improve their relationships, all while growing closer to the Lord. Stop starving yourself to lose weight and then blaming yourself for putting it back on. Start enjoying whole health today. Let Pastor Rick send you a hardcover copy of his best-selling book, The Daniel Plan, today, as his way of saying thanks for your financial gift to this listener-supported ministry. Call 800-600-5004 to get this powerful resource, or you can visit PastorRick.com today. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I want to just thank every one of you for your generous support. People all over the world are now listening to Daily Hope because of your financial support. Let me read you a letter from Rhoda, who lives in Papua New Guinea. Do you even know where that is? It's down toward Australia. Rhoda wrote, I want to let you know that the Daily Hope has helped change my views toward life because you share from the Word of God. She said, I've recommended Daily Hope to all my workmates, and since then, the life of one of my colleagues has changed, and she's always thankful for your sharing. We listen to Daily Hope every day. So I'm praying for you, Pastor Rick. Well, thank you. Thank you for your note, Rhoda, and thank you for writing all the way from Papua New Guinea, and thank those of you who are supporting this ministry so we can reach people like Rhoda. I'm glad you're living out God's principles in your daily life, Rhoda, and I want to say thanks to all of you for your support. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.